games. Do you care about it? Does the world care about it? We will ask you that. That's part of our poll question today as well. And all that and more coming up. Gym Class here for a Tuesday on KGYN. And we welcome you in, Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer, Tuesday edition of the program. Happy August to everybody out there. Man, where in the world did this summer go? It's not over yet, but cannot believe we are to the month of August. We are 2 days away from football getting underway. We've got a game on Thursday night. The Hall of Fame game, the Dallas Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals. We will have it for you from Westwood One. Coming up 7 o'clock on Thursday night. That'll be on 1600 AM along with 106.3 FM. Tonight we've got one more late night Twins game. That makes Mark Dukes smile as the Twins will take on the San Diego Padres coming up tonight. That from Petco Park in San Diego. And that gets underway with the pregame at 8:30, 9:10, the first pitch for that one. You haven't been getting much sleep over the last week and a half.
Actually, I've been staying up a little later than usual and paying for it the next morning. Twins playing one-run games at Oakland, and I hung with it, and to no avail at least twice. But I'll probably do the same thing tonight.
Probably do the same thing.
Twins and Padres.
Hope the Padres, easy for me to say, wear the brown and gold tonight because I think they look much better in that than in the blue out there. I grew up with the Padres brown and gold, so I thought it was fabulous. The Tony Gwynn Padres. Go back to Randy Johnson. Saw a picture of Nate Colbert today.
Oh.
Wearing his Padre uniform. He had a great day on August 1st back in the early 70s in a double dip. Yeah, a doubleheader. I believe he had 13 RBIs in those two games. You want to talk Nate Colbert and other things, you can let us know at 319-366-1600. That is the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Again, that's 319-366-1600. Some news out of Des Moines today. Sandy Hatfield Club has stepped down as the Drake Athletic Director after a 10-year run over there in Des Moines. And a mutual parting of the ways, although she has a new job already lined up. She's going to be a senior partner in a firm that helps universities and colleges find coaches, interestingly enough. Everybody's done that.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be the athletic director. I mean, going back to the 80s, the Bump Elliott days, whatever, down in Iowa City, other places, used to have that Rolodex, or used to have a couple cards in the top drawer of your desk that people you would call if you needed to, in case you needed to hire a coach.
I think the good ones still do.
I would agree with that. But now you have to bring in the consulting firm to help you because now there are a lot more people involved. There are agents,
sure,
et cetera. It's not a one phone call situation and, you know, calling them at their house or whatever the case may be. Now you got to go through three or four people to even set up a meeting with the coach.
I love it when a person resigns or is fired or just happens to be leaving a position, a coach, an athletic director, and the obligatory last line of the statement is, a nationwide search is underway. a search of the Midwest. Not a search of the West Coast and Southern United States, but a nationwide search.
I thought you were going to say that we wish them well.
And we wish them well.
We wish them well.
Thank you for their contributions, and we wish them well.
A couple things in the off the court going on right now with Sandy Hatfield Club. A couple of lawsuits that have been brought, and I would imagine that may have something to do with the fact that that she is leaving, and Drake is letting her leave Friday. So she'll be starting her new job coming up next week. So. Yeah, there's more in there if you want to read between the lines.
And a nationwide search is underway.
Nationwide search is underway.
Okay.
No doubt about that. And I know we got Drake folks over here. So good or bad, you can let us know on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line at 319-366-1600. We usually have Cal Eldred on Tuesdays, and this may have something to do with the fact that the Royals are red hot right now, and they were players at the Major League trade deadline, and Cal was summoned to day-long meetings today, so he will not be able to join us. He will join us on Thursday, though. So mark that down on your calendar. We will talk to Cal coming up on Thursday. And of course, Cal's got a he's got his job that comes first before talking with us, with the Kansas City Royals.
Well, thankfully, we pulled one of the best pinch hitters off the bench, and Jeff Johnson will join us from the Gazette.
Left-hander with a lot of speed.
He does.
At least in the day.
He's a left-hander, I know that.
At least in the day. So we'll talk with JJ coming up in just a little bit. I got to throw this out there because it just came down the line. We're getting closer and closer. It's August now. High school football's around the corner. Great to see an article about high school football on the front page of the Gazette today about Springville and Coach Joe Martin. Very young team that they're going to have this year for the O's. But we got college football around the corner. Of course, we mentioned pro football coming up starting on Thursday night with the Hall of Fame game from Canton, Ohio. The college football commentator teams have been released, at least the ESPN version of them. Not a lot of changes. Just go through a few of them here. The Saturday night primetime will still be Fowler and Herb Street with Maria Taylor on the sideline. The ESPN Saturday night primetime game, that will be Joe Tessitore and Todd Blackledge. I think they work well together. Holly Rowe will be on the sideline. As long as Todd Blackledge is not throwing passes for the Kansas City Chiefs, I am a big fan. Then the rest of the ESPN Saturday or ABC Saturday lineups, Steve Levy and Brian Greasy, along with Todd McShay, Dave Pasch, Greg McElroy, the former Alabama quarterback, and Tom Luganville, Bob Wischusen, Brock Huard, and Allison Williams, Mike Patrick, Tommy Tuberville, they will form a team, Mark Jones, Rod Gilmore, Quint Kesenich, Jason Benetti of the Chicago White Sox fame, and Kelly Stauffer will be with Chris Budden, or Budden, I'm not sure which one it is, Beth Mowins, Anthony Beck, and Rocky Boyman are back together again, which means everybody in Iowa City will be astounded when they come into Kinnick Stadium. What else we got? Dave Fleming, rotating analyst, and Laura Rutledge. Adam Amin on the Friday night ESPN games. Dave Fleming is on the ESPN Thursday games. And those are the biggies. Those are the biggies.
It's like a lot of crews. There's a lot of platforms to cover.
I didn't even get into the SEC Network, the ESPNU, the ESPNU / ESPN News, the Longhorn Network. We can tell you ESPN Radio will be Bill Rosinski and David Norrie again. They do a really good job, and we try to bring you as many games as possible with ESPN Radio. There are 25 different platforms that ESPN has. So that encapsulates 50 teams. So just showing you most games are on television at this point. So there you go. I'm glad Jason Benetti's in there. Glad he's in there. 319-366-1600. That is Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, as we told you. We're going to talk baseball coming up in just a little bit here, but we wanted to throw this out as far as our Emil's Hideaway poll question, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Right next to the Home Depot, right behind the Taco John's, and it deals with the Olympics, Mark.
Yes, it comes on the heels of the announcement of the sites being selected for 2024, which is Rome, and 2028, which is Los Angeles. So the poll question today from Emo's Hideaway goes like this. How should the selection of sites for the Olympics be handled? Option one, select one permanent site. Option two, select four permanent sites that host in rotation. Or finally, keep it the way it is. Go to KGYMradio.com and vote. Thanks to Emo's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, in Cedar Rapids, next to the Home Depot, and behind Taco John's.
What it boils down to is the fact, and I'd love to hear opinions out there from our listeners. You can call us 319-366-1600, or you can text on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. How important is the Olympics? It was almost as if Paris and Los Angeles were jockeying not to have it first. Of course, Los Angeles had it last in 1984. LA's a little bit different. And we were talking about this before we got started here today. LA's a little bit different because they already have an infrastructure there for most of the venues as far as the Olympic Games are concerned. You're not going to have to build a whole lot. Obviously, you have many arenas in Los Angeles. Staples Center, you got the Forum is still out there that can be used. You got the Coliseum. You got two brand new football fields that are going to be coming. You got soccer stadiums out there. Not sure if they have a bicycle arena.
I'm sure they do.
They may. I have no idea. But there's not a lot of money that needs to be put into this. And what has been happening lately, at least in the modern Olympic history, is that these cities bid and then find out that they run out of money trying to put up the infrastructure. Places that have hosted the Olympic Games recently, you take a look on the internet, social networking, whatever the case may be, of crumbling venues. Now, the biggest one is Sarajevo in 1984, but that is different because several civil wars went through the Balkans.
Sure.
So I think you can throw that one out a little bit. But Athens, they've got places that are crumbling, that are not being used anymore. Sochi, even Rio in 2016, barely got things done and then just let them go after the Olympic Games left. And these cities now are finding that it's not as economically lucrative to have the Olympic Games there. Somebody's getting paid.
Despite the fact NBC is paying a ton of money to show what, I don't know how for how long, but...
So 2032.
Billions of dollars every year.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's the... I don't know why a major city or a city of any size would want to take this on without any infrastructure. I mean, L.A. hasn't had the Olympics since what?
84.
84.
And the Russians boycotted that year.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be nearly 40 years in between Olympic Games in Los Angeles. I'm almost to the point, I kind of like the four cities. Select four cities around the world and rotate them. That way you'd have an Olympic Games every 16 years.
I would agree.
And you can, if you don't have the facilities, you can build them, upgrade them. You're not going to spend near as much money, at least after the first one, to use those sites. I don't agree necessarily. Maybe you do. Go ahead and vote with one site.
No.
Because I don't know where that would be. Historically, Athens.
But they didn't invite the Olympics back with open arms when they had them back in 04. And they've had things that they've let go and crumble down. Not with the upkeep. 319-366-1600. And obviously they're still popular because when the Olympics come by, and now it's every 2 years, we're going to have the Winter Olympics coming up.
South Korea.
In 2018, next winter. 2020 for the next Summer Olympic Games.
Tokyo.
And they're immensely popular. The ratings are through the roof. You've got NBC paying a gajillion dollars through 2032. You've got broadcast rights for the other big countries of the world. The IOC is making money. People are watching it, but nobody wants to host these things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the catch-22 in all this. And then, of course, if you stay with the status quo, you go back to all of the backroom shenanigans that you had with the IOC back in the day, where there were blackmailing, payoffs, things like that to have cities host back in the day. So maybe they're not as popular as we once thought they were.
I think they are because it's spread out every 4 years. Every year, I mean, we just saw a swimmer tying Michael Phelps's world record for medals in the World Championships. I think it's the World Championships. But that guy's going to be a story, I would presume, in 2020. By the way, the members of the United States women's gymnastics team for the 2028 LA Olympics will be starting kindergarten this year.
That's a little scary. 319-366-1600. And we probably already know who they are.
Maybe, yeah.
They're 5 and 6 and already terrific out there. I don't know. What do you think? Are the Olympics as popular as they once were? That is the question we're throwing out there before we talk a little baseball.
Yeah, 319-366-1600. Our Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. If you want to know more, go to jkainvest.com. 85-85. Keep it to four cities. Tie it in with the World Cup. I hate to see these stadiums fall apart.
Well, economically, it makes no sense either for these stadiums to fall apart.
Ryan from Walford, this is not a political show. That's in parentheses, okay?
It is not.
Force North Korea to host them. Then they can spend their money on Olympic infrastructure instead of ICBMs.
Love.
Not a laughing matter.
No, it's not. But I like where you're thinking there, Ryan. Appreciate that. It costs a ton of money to build all this stuff. And we're not even thinking of a lot of things that Los Angeles needs to build. Obviously, they have to house the athletes. That's another thing. You have the Olympic Village, and those are some of the biggest offenders as far as what is breaking down and what is being neglected. I know some countries have come up with plans. They can make them into apartment buildings, low-income housing, whatever the case may be, but you've got to take care of that situation as well as the venues out there. So
0847 on the text line. I like the Olympics, but the cost is crazy.
And getting crazier.
It's like what we were just talking about. And I don't know where you could go to cut costs. I mean, I think the opening and closing ceremonies are extravagant as hell.
Do we really need that?
Yeah.
That is a great question. Do we really, really need that? Or you just parade everybody in, you light the torch, say a few words, and go have a beer.
Yeah.
Why do we need the four-hour extravaganza of the history of this?
I don't need the native dance. I really don't.
Or that. I appreciate the fact that you have all this culture you want to show the world. Or maybe just bring it from a four-hour extravaganza down to maybe.
But you know what? The opening and closing ceremonies are some of the most popular things for some people.
That's true.
I'm not going to say men, women, whatever, but folks like that. But I think it's extravagant as hell.
Yeah, it really is. And cost an arm and a leg to boot out there. Yeah, maybe cut that down. Dial it back a little bit. But if you go to four venues, you can't keep repeating all that stuff.
True.
So maybe that would help out as far as all that is concerned. We have all the answers here today, don't we? 319-366-1600 as we talk a little bit about the Olympics here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Just bring in your country's best rock band and have them throw an hour show and be done with it.
Well, then you got to figure out, just like Super Bowl halftime, who it's going to be. And then there's going to be all kinds of deliberation of how that works out.
I do like the Parade of Nations.
I love it.
It's terrific.
I think it's great. I'm a fan of the Olympics. I get into it every 2 years. I think it's really neat. I watch a lot of the events. I have my favorite events out there. But and I think the fact that it used to be, and you still have the Michael Phelpses and whatnot, you still have the amateurs in the Olympic sports, but now you're missing out. You've got NBA basketball players that are jockeying not to play in the Olympic Games. Mm-hmm. There's going to be more talk about that than there are about who is actually going to play in the Olympic Games. Hockey was amateurs, then it became professionals. Now it sounds like they're not going to send the pros back to the Olympics. So maybe that kind of took it down a little bit as well.
Yeah,
with just losing some of the amateur status out there. 319-366-1600.
Ryan on the text line, getting a little more serious anyway. says, in all seriousness, maybe they look at a way to have continents host instead of countries. Spread them out across the U.S. or Africa or Europe. Split up the cost and find cities that have infrastructure in place.
There you go. Appreciate that. Our friend, he talks basketball. He's going to talk Olympic opening ceremonies with us right now. Kevin Lehman joining us. Kevin, you're gonna poo-poo our idea of cutting it down to the walk in and have a beer, right?
Well, that sounds pretty good, Scott. But I want to relate to you guys. I did the World University Games in 2015 in South Korea.
Yep.
So I participated in that opening ceremony.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you guys, it was one of the coolest things I've ever done and a great life memory because we paraded in. First, we sat outside for like 6 hours with all the athletes. And there was about 12,000 athletes at the World University Games. I kind of call it like it's the Olympics for supposedly college students, although a lot of these teams, the basketball teams at least, would put guys in 6 hours of correspondence courses and call them student athletes.
Besides that.
At age 24.
Well, now, was that as extravagant, the World University Games, is that as extravagant as the Olympic opening ceremonies?
Well, nothing's that extravagant, but we did, we sat outside and all the student athletes got together, their participants, and here's the cool thing, they're all in their gear, we had USA gear on, they were all exchanging pins and other things with one another. Yep. Some, you didn't speak a common language, and then we printed in team by team and went through around the entire track. It was in Gwangju, South Korea, and I think they had a World Cup in this arena.
Hmm.
But the place went crazy, and Kansas was representing the USA, so I'm actually interviewing Bill Self as we're walking around there. And I tell you guys, it was an experience those participating athletes will never forget.
Iowa baseball representing the USA in Taipei in the World University Games coming up in August. Kevin, I ask you, did they have to build a lot of facilities for the World University Games or just use existing ones?
Mainly they use existing ones. Like I said, the opening ceremony was in a complex that was built for the World Cup. Mm-hmm. It was already there. And, of course, we played, you'll get a kick out of this, our games for basketball were played in Dong Kong Gymnasium.
Oh. Wow.
Which was I mean, like what you'd find is one of the bigger high schools in the state of Iowa, an upper deck. Of course, we were in the Raptors broadcasting, but it was, it was a great experience because you're interacting with those athletes from other countries and you see those guys all come together.
Yeah.
Dong Kong.
Pretty neat experience.
Dong Kong meaning West Des Moines Dalling, Kevin.
Yeah, it was a little bigger than West Des Moines.
Not as big as some of the Indiana high school places, though.
No, not quite that big. Well, I think the gold medal game was moved to a university facility, so it was a little bit larger. We did like 14 games in good old Dong Kong, the Dong Kong Arena.
Always.
That's the name you just don't forget in your broadcast career.
You do not. You do not. You do not. Hey, Kevin, appreciate the input. Thanks, man.
Yeah, so you can cut down the ones on the Olympics. You can cut down the ceremony a little bit, but I wouldn't do away with it, guys. It's really a great.
Oh no, no, no! I would agree. I would agree. And I've heard and read and seen the video of all the athletes getting together and whatnot outside. So, yep,
I was going to go to Taipei this year, as you mentioned, Mark. Iowa baseball is representing.
That's right.
It's going to be a great experience for them. I think it's Cal State Fullerton was there the year I was there.
Oh, okay. The Titans.
Yeah, and they asked. They want to come every year. They asked to come every year because of the experience of it. And this year, Purdue is representing the men for basketball, and Maryland is representing the women. Unfortunately for me, they couldn't get sponsorship to put it on to televise it this year, so it's probably going to be streamed in some aspect.
Mm-hmm. Hey, before we let you go, real quick, the Iowa men's basketball schedule in the Big Ten. We talked about this yesterday. Fran McCaffrey's got to just be smiling from ear to ear about the schedule that was thrown Iowa's way.
Boy, if Fran picked his own schedule, he could have done better than this.
Couldn't have.
I thought it was it's unbelievable. Great for the Hawks. And just what we talked about before, guys, this is a team that's really getting underlooked. I can't believe they're not making the preseason top 25 polls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's maybe he's taking a page out of Kirk's playbook and liking the fact they're going under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they bring back so much scoring and rebound. Those are two big factors to look at. Experience, and you know, we talk about all the depth they have. Yeah. I think it's going to be a great year for the Hawks.
Yeah.
And in 2 years, guys, won't this be the best Iowa team Fran has had in his 7 or 8 years here?
At least got an opportunity to be that. Opportunity.
Yeah, when Nicholas Bear is a senior, this team is going to be really, really good.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, appreciate it.
All right, guys, just want to get my input on that.
All right, thanks.
All right, talk to you later.
3:30, Kevin Lehman joining us here, our college basketball analyst.
And, always love hearing from Kevin. 95-95 on the text line. Another option would be to not have all the Olympic events in the same city. Basketball in Chicago, swimming in China, track and field in Greece. Cities can still bid to host events, but aren't stuck with a burden to host the entire thing.
Something to think about.
That's outside the box a little bit.
Or maybe just countrywide. Say if United States wants to do it, like
it's kind of along the lines of the suggestion to hold it by continent,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. Hey, well, maybe dive into this a little bit more coming up. But it's 3:30. We're going to take a break, come back, and when we do, we will be talking baseball. Jeff Johnson covers Cedar Rapids Colonels for the Gazette, and he will join us coming up here in just a little bit. And if you're looking for Cal Eldred, he's going to join us on Thursday, the Thursday program this week. So stay tuned. More to come after this. KGYM.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases? But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids, on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
The Colonels have fireworks sponsored by Bank of the West this Friday night. But that's not the only firepower we have in store for our fans. It's also Superhero Night. See Captain America, Batgirl, Black Widow, The Flash, and Hawkeye at the game. And the first 1,000 fans receive a superhero hat sponsored by Electronics Engineering. Visit Colonels.com for more information or to order tickets.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-642-9530. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-642-9531 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-642-9531 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-642-9531.
Concur does what might seem impossible for your business. It makes employees happy and finance happy. How? Well, employees love automated expense reports and invoices they can submit and approve from anywhere. And finance loves that they have full visibility into employee spend. Plus, Concur integrates with leading finance systems. Concur makes the process better for everyone. Concur. Expense. Travel. Invoice. Learn more at concur.com.
Covering Eastern Iowa sports for more than 40 years combined. UNASH and Dukes. The Gym Class on KGYM.
3:33, back with you here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class, KGYM, Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer, and coming up at 4 o'clock, it'll be, well, it's going to be the TB show with Alex Kuhn, except Todd's not here today. It's does that make it the Alex Kuhn show with Kyle Mann?
No.
Okay, it's still the Todd Brommelkamp show.
Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn featuring Kyle Mann.
Featuring Kyle Mann. Sounds like something that Z would play with about 17 artists in there. But at any rate, that'll be coming up from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock for you right here on KGYM. And then the Twins tonight at 8:30 as the Twins will be taking on the San Diego Padres. Speaking of the Minnesota Twins, Jeff Johnson covers the Cedar Rapids Colonels for the Gazette. You can read his stuff on Twitter. Give him a follow out there. We'll give you the address coming up here in just a little bit. And follow him at thegazette.com, joining us here. And are you as happy as Mark that this West Coast trip for the Twins is coming to an end so you can get some sleep now?
I honestly haven't watched a whole lot of the games.
Well, you've been at the ballpark.
Yeah, that's true. I've been, at a lot of different ballparks. So, I guess I haven't missed a whole lot, which is good, right?
God, you sound good, Jeff, after biting your tongue on Sunday.
Did you like that?
I saw it on Twitter, dude.
Yeah, I pick up a soda and spill that all over my shirt, and 10 seconds later, I bite my tongue.
And
it was a great day.
It was a great day, wasn't it? You made it through.
That's right. I'm still alive.
And everything's okay. And things after a very good first half for the Colonels. Hasn't been the greatest second half anyway, but very good pitching performance last night. A combined shutout. They scattered 8 hits last night, but hey, they don't ask you how, right?
That's right. Yeah, Clinton had base runners all over the place, but none of them crossed the plate. And I guess that's the bottom line. So kind of a team that, offensively struggling right now, and also a team with 3 new pitchers coming in and all left-handed. So that'll be interesting.
In a short series, anything can happen. You know that, Jeff. Lay out the playoff scenario for Cedar Rapids, if you will.
Sure, Cedar Rapids will play Kane County. They both qualified in the Western Division in the first half. Kane County has the home field advantage, so Cedar Rapids will host Game 1, which I believe is on the Wednesday after the season ends. Season ends on Labor Day. And then the next Game 2 would be at Kane County. If there's a Game 3 needed, then that also would be at Kane County. And, we're from there, we're still waiting to see who's going to qualify here in the second half from the division. So,
yeah. Well, like so many minor league teams, it's almost a brand new bunch that you had to get used to after the first half going into the second half, and that's not anything different with the Cedar Rapids ball club this year.
No, I mean, you're always going to see change, whether it's guys get promoted, which was a huge part of the second half, or has been a huge part of the second half for this club. When you lose, 4 guys out of your lineup, to start the second half that got promoted, I mean, that's going to put a dent in your club. But, that just gives opportunities for other guys, whether it be down from rookie ball or, as the case is now, a couple of guys from the 2017 draft are up here. And, like I said, it's always a revolving door kind of in the minor leagues. And, it's not. The primary goal isn't necessarily about winning. Winning is part of it, but it's all about development and developing these players and, move them on up and move them on out. And if that's happening, then the coaching staff is doing the right thing.
How many Tyler Watsons in the ballpark tonight?
There will be 2, from what I understand.
At least 2, right?
At least 2, yes. They should have had some sort of Tyler Watson promotion. Tyler Watson, you get in free tonight. So He's the guy, Mark, as you know, the Minnesota acquired for Brandon Kinsler from the Washington Nationals organization, and he has been assigned to Cedar Rapids. He was in low A in Washington's system, so he'll be here. He's a left-handed starting pitcher who is supposed to start on Thursday, from what I've been told. And then Clinton also has a Tyler Watson, who is a relief pitcher. So both guys named Tyler Watson who are playing professional baseball will be in the same ballpark tonight. How cool is that?
Pretty cool anyway. And, yeah, he's obviously the guy that was traded for Kinsler. And so obviously the Twins are they've got big plans for him or think very highly of this young man.
Yeah, he's 20 years old, was a high school draft pick from the Phoenix area, was like 34th round, but Washington thought enough of him to give him fifth-round money to sign and you know, not go to college. I think he was going to Loyola Marymount, if I read right. So, yeah, I mean, he's supposed to have stuff, you know, 88 to 92 miles per hour and, you know, the good pitchers build, so they hope that that they can develop him. And, you know, hopefully, I think his ceiling, from what I've read, is kind of a back-end starter. But, you know, if you can trade for a guy that goes into your rotation someday, that's pretty good.
Cedar Rapids Gazette all-purpose sports writer Jeff Johnson joining us on the Gym Class here. Jeff, Cal Eldred, you usually join us on Tuesdays and appreciate you sitting in. I want to get your take on the MLB comings and goings at the trade deadline. What'd you think? Who were the winners and losers?
Well, you got to love what the Dodgers did, right?
Yep.
Holy cow. Mm-hmm. You know, getting a couple of pitchers like that. And the Yankees got a couple of pitchers. So, you know, I think those two certainly solidified themselves. And, you know, I know everything that the Cubs did has been talked about probably ad nauseum around here, but I mean, they did seem to do a pretty good job of solidifying things too. You know, I think the Nationals have a really good team, and but they needed bullpen help, and they went out and got that. So I think they did a good job, and you know, let's find out. I think that answer will be clear here in a couple of months, right? So always an interesting day. There was quite a bit of activity this year around, and you know, as far as prospects and teams that sold assets for young guys, I mean, that we want to have the answer to that question for, you know, 3-4 years at least.
Scott Unash knows that.
Yeah, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but we'll see how it goes. By the way, all three of us have a good chance of playing for the Chicago White Sox yet this year, so keep that. Especially you're left-handed, so. You know, that throws a little different wrinkle in there. But you never wear a Sox uniform.
You got a ton of prospects, so could be exciting if at least half those guys pan out. I think you got a chance to be pretty good here in a few years. So
yeah, and we'll see.
Chin up, young man.
I know. We'll see if they all pan out. We'll see that how that goes. But yeah, it's interesting though. This year we're seeing kind of the rich get richer. And the poor get poorer this year. It could make for a really good postseason, and that's what baseball needs, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and you know, how many people are going to want that, Yankees-Dodgers World Series, you know? You know, I'm sure the TV executives want that Yankees-Dodgers World Series, so it'll be interesting. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it seemed like the teams with the big pockets were the ones that made the biggest splashes at the deadline. You know, Dodgers, Red Sox, Yankees, you know, Cubs and things like that. So, you know, I'm more of a small market type fan, but sometimes, I mean, I do understand the value of the big popular franchises, you know, getting to the playoffs and getting deep.
Jeff, I want to go back to the state baseball tournament for a minute. You and KJ Pilcher, your colleague, did a great job covering, and I guess I'm understating the fact that couldn't write a better story than Dyersville Beckman and Tom Jenk.
No. By the way, I just got home from Wednesday's semifinals, by the way.
Yeah, very good. You get a ding for that one.
Yeah. Actually, I rolled into town about 3:30 Thursday morning. So that was an interesting day. Let's put it that way. But yeah, Team Jenk. I mean, that. You know, you never want to root for anybody or anything. But I mean, that was just an unbelievable story, and for Coach to actually make it to the game and be there and watch was an amazing thing. And
you know, to see his reaction right after the final out was made was great. And, you know, it's something should be a movie someday, right? And who knows? It just might be.
It might be a movie. And, and he didn't want to, and knowing Coach Jank, he didn't want it to be about himself. He wanted it to be about the boys, and he did say that to you. You put it in the article, and it was just great to have him there after everything that has happened. Just to have him at Principal Park, pretty cool bow tie on top of the season for the Blazers.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it was one of those things where, you know, when he first got diagnosed and it kind of became public in, you know, December, early January, I mean, the thought was, or what he was telling everybody, hey, my goal is to be around and be there for the first day of practice. And, you know, I don't know that necessarily happened. He's had some setbacks, you know, since then with strokes and having to be in healthcare home and things like that. But I don't know if anybody could have imagined that he'd be, you know, maybe that didn't happen, but he was there for the state championship game. And, you know, his mind is great. You know, he'll, you talk to those guys, they were saying the other night, yeah, he made it out to practice, you know, our practices before each state tournament game. And, you know, it was the same old Coach Jank, you know, he was telling us how awful we are at bunting and stuff like that. So, you know, just wonderful. Just wonderful to see him. It was great that he was able to make it there, you know, in the recreational vehicle provided by the medical company up there in Dubuque, and for them then to finish it off. Can you imagine, boys, how much pressure those kids probably felt to try and finish that off? And they didn't say it publicly, but, you know, gee whiz, to be a player or a coach on that team in that situation and not be able to get it done, that would have been so disappointing for them and for everybody, I guess.
Score 9 runs in the first inning. A lot of the tension disappears, at least for a little while, I guess.
Yeah, it was weird because they didn't have a hit. They had their first 10 guys. They didn't have a hit, yet they had like a bunch of runs. And then they came up with a couple of back-to-back two-run hits. And, you know, yeah, certainly that kind of calmed everybody down. You score 9 runs right away.
You alluded to Wednesday/Thursday, and refresh people's memory what happened there and why did it happen. Maybe the Cubs have an organizational problem in the Department of Meteorology. I don't know.
Yeah, that was the Class 3A day. They were supposed to play 4 games starting at noon, or 11 o'clock, I guess it was. And Prairie was the first game against Waukee, and that got delayed a little bit because of some rain. But, you know, they got her off and got her done without any problems. And, you know, then the next game, the team's warmed up, Linmar. In Johnston, and you know they were ready to play. They introduced everybody, and next thing you know, here comes the tarp, and everybody's a little bit confused. And you looked at the radar, and there was, you know, maybe some rain that was impending, or at least it looked like a little bit to the west. So they wanted to pull the tarp, and you know, so it you know, drizzled a little bit, and very light rain here and there, and you know, they kept the tarp on the field and told everybody they'd get their hand stamped, they could get back in free if they wanted to go downtown or something quick. And you know, so we sat there, and then there was a good two and a half, three-hour window where it didn't rain at all, but the radar showed that there could possibly be some rain headed towards Des Moines. So the tarp never ever got pulled. And geez, what time did we finally get that thing underway? 8-something, I think it was. And you know, the IHSA says, well, you know, our policy is we defer kind of the Iowa Cubs as far as they let us know when rain's coming, and you know, then we'll make a group decision on whether or not to start a game or play a game. And that seemed a little fishy when you sit there, you don't have rain for 3 hours, and you still don't play the game. So. Yeah, Washington and Iowa City West don't get underway till 10:40 p.m., and the game doesn't get over till I think 12:45, which was the latest high school state tournament game has ever been played. So, you know, you can pick who you want to blame for this deal, but I think it was just a bad situation all the way around, and you know, somebody dropped the ball, I think. No pun intended.
Yeah, no. Well, there was another year Xavier played a very late game that got done around that time too. I remember that, and probably some players on that team listening and going, yeah, that was, we were in that same situation. But thankfully, they got all the games in at Principal Park. I know they've had to move a couple times to Southeast Polk, and it's a great facility. Nothing against it, but but you want to play in Principal Park. That's where everybody wants to be at. So.
Yeah, exactly. And they were able to shoehorn that last 4A game that got postponed in the next morning, which was good. I think that was Dowling and Mason City. And, you know, it could have been a much better situation. There's no question about that. I think it's ridiculous to have, you know, kids bus back home and not get home till 3:30 in the morning, even if it is the summer. So, you know, there was a lot of – it kind of all came out well, bottom line, I guess. But, you know, like I said, somebody – the situation – that never should have happened. Let's put it that way.
Jeff, you did one of a series of stories you guys are doing on legendary coaches and what made them tick, so to speak. I hope that's a good description. But you wrote about Don King, and I really had lost track of Don. And, of course, he was a terrific coach at Cedar Rapids, Washington, and elsewhere. But tell us about the series and bring us up to date on Don.
Yeah, it was just an idea that, you know, J.R. Ogden, Mark, who you know so well, kind of came up with and thought it'd be a good summer, a summer series, I guess. So we kind of spitballed around guys that maybe should be included in it. And, you know, Don obviously was the one that we wrote about for Monday. And he literally just moved. They sold their house in Cedar Rapids and moved this past week full-time to Florida, him and his wife, June, and they've kind of lived half there and half in Cedar Rapids since he retired, but they're going full time now down in Florida. He's going to be 88 next month. You know, just great stories. As I hope I related well enough in that story about how he was was basically just a farm kid and went to a one room country schoolhouses growing up and never even picked up a basketball till he was 14 years old. And you know, once he did, that was pretty much it. You know, he got a hoop and a basketball for Christmas the next year and went to high school up in Geneseo, Iowa. And, you know, they made it to the state tournament. And he saw, as he mentioned, these great coaches from these great programs in Ames and Waverly and all these other places, and he saw how they conducted themselves and the strategy of the game and everything, and he was sold right then and there at age 15, and you know, I'll be darned if he didn't follow through with that and, you know, had just an unbelievable Hall of Fame career, state champion, and even 4 years head coach at Cole College.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, people don't remember that, too. Was at Edco, and he never wanted to play Don right after Christmas. I know that. Because more often than not, they would get you. And well, you got Colonels, but then football's around the corner, man.
Yeah, isn't that hard to believe? We're making arrangements all this week to get out to these practices next week when they start on Monday, you know, for our preseason football tab. And I think I'm going to head out to Washington on Monday, actually, and talk to Mo Blue. You know, he'll be the first African-American head football coach ever in the Metro. So I think that's a pretty cool thing. And, yeah, it's hard to believe, but, yeah, let's tee it up. Let's kick it off, right?
All right. Not too far down the line here.
Baseball season's been long gone for all of us.
Yes, it has been. Some of us a little bit more than others.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, real quick question from one of our texters. Wanted to know why in high school baseball you don't have placing games. Softball does, but baseball doesn't. Yeah.
No, and I think that's just availability. I don't, you know, if you're going to do that, you'd be playing the state tournament for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Basically, at Principal Park. So, I mean, Fort Dodge, they have multiple diamonds. And from what I understand, in talking to Jeff Ledger, who does such a great job for us covering girls' sports, he thinks those games will go away sooner rather than later.
Oh, really? Interesting. Interesting. And pitch counts, too, you got to think about as far as baseball is concerned.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. You know, it's with all the new rules and everything, you know, everybody, all the coaches, all the programs in the state are still getting adjusted to all that.
Yep, yep, true. Hey, JJ, appreciate it. We'll read your stuff at thegazette.com, and always good to talk with
and
you.
And the paper version, too.
And the paper version, yeah.
Yes.
Pick it up.
Thanks very much, guys.
You bet.
I appreciate it. You have a good night.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll take a break. Come back with more after this, KGYM.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Get a sneak peek of the upcoming Cedar Rapids Prairie football season and do some good too. Don't miss the Prairie Football Charity Bowl August 12th. Free will donations at the gate will support St. Jude's Children's Hospital, Camp Courageous, and Pause in Effect.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
It's even easier for neighbors to help neighbors these days. Fairfax State Savings Bank has been helping their neighbors get ahead for years. And with their new bank house in Amana, it's easier than ever to work with a bank that's wherever you need them to be. Both locations have the latest things like e-banking and mobile deposit, but what makes them really different is their ability to make it easy for you to get that loan. And that hasn't changed a bit. Visit thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, Bank House is a division of Fairfax State Savings Bank.
AutoZone presents Keeping Cool. When the AC is on the fritz, your commute becomes a hot mess. Luckily, AutoZone carries AC Pro refrigerant that helps restore cold air in only 10 minutes. And right now, save $15 by mail-in rebate when you buy 20 ounces of AC Pro refrigerant with hose and gauge. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the gym class, KGYM.
Welcome back, and thanks to Jeff Johnson for joining us. Cal Eldred will join us on Thursday. Tomorrow, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com, college football guy, will join us. And then also Chris Liss of RotoWire.com, because a lot of folks are getting their draft list ready. I got an email. I've never done one, but I got an email today that said mock drafts are now open. That'll make a guy in Tennessee happy.
Are you going to do it?
No, God, no. No, I've had a better time things to do with my time than mock drafts. So, our poll question, that's one of them. Take part in it from Emil's Hideaway. How should the selection of sites for the Olympics be handled? Select one permanent site, select four permanent sites that host in rotation, or keep it the way it is. It's unanimous right now. Select four permanent sites that host in a rotation.
Interesting.
That's your idea.
Well, maybe someone else has advanced it, but I just thought I'd throw that in there versus, you know, the two obvious.
Yeah. And great interaction today on the program. We do appreciate it out there. And again, tomorrow, Adam Rittenberg will join us, and Chris Liss of RotoWire.com will be joining us as well. We're into August now. It's officially keep an eye on the baseball standings, and I think it's going to be a great. The run to get teams in there might not be great, especially in the National League where it looks like it's all pretty much cut and dry, but boy, the American League is going to have some great races.
AL East is going to be terrific, and I think perhaps the AL Central as well. So Twins baseball tonight, San Diego Padres, 8:30. On 107.5 FM.
Yep, that'll be coming up tonight as the Twins will try to get back into the win column and close out things on the West Coast. Stay tuned. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, with Alex and Kyle Mann coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have yourselves a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special